Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. When Milwaukee's venerable independent bookstore chain Harry W. Schwartz faded away 4 years ago and was followed into oblivion by Borders Books, many feared the local literary scene might disappear as well. But that has not happened. If anything, the book world is stronger than ever here. That's thanks in large part to the strength of the remaining independent bookstores in the area. Recently, in Milwaukee Magazine, writer Claire Hannon profiled Daniel Golden, who reopened Schwartz's Downer Avenue location as Boswell Book Company. Both Golden and Hannon joined us in the studio to shed some light on the state of books in Milwaukee circa 2013. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Daniel Golden, why are books worth the effort that you put into them?
There are educational reasons. There are entertainment reasons. But some of it's irrational. I would say that. I've been reading since I was probably in the negative numbers. My pregnant mother was probably reading to me and have been since I was a very young child, not just reading but collecting books. Going to bookstores was a very, very, very special occasion because we didn't have any around us. We would shop at mass merchants or dime stores. And I have a very, very strong connection with them, but I do feel that they are something that's more important, say, than I really love sweaters, but we just had an author who said a sweater is not going to change your life, and I'm going to go with that. Though I've had a good sweaters. So.
Claire Hannon, why did you identify Daniel Golden as a guy worth profiling?
We knew that there was a lot of change in the book industry and the book selling industry, and it had trickled down all the way to Milwaukee. But Daniel opened his store kind of in the midst of that, and we didn't know much, but we knew only good things about him. So we kind of my editor wanted me to find out why and why he's still around and why people are saying such good things about him.
Okay, so flashback to 2009. That was when the Harry Schwartz chain closed. Daniel, we had you on the air soon after that. But can you talk about why you were confident a standalone bookstore could make a go as the economy was bottoming out?
Well, I did think about this long and hard in between many other career changes that were on my plate, none of which seemed like they would go very well. I had talked to Carol, the owner of the store, with Rebecca, and we had been thinking about this for a long time, and there was actually some contemplation of the family consolidating to one store. One of the problems with a multi-store operation is that the overhead, you think that you're spreading the overhead, but you're actually creating additional overhead because people can't really do double duty. You create a layer of middle management. You have all sorts of problems involved in that, and I had seen the stores that were not working in other places, often multi-store operations. I also saw the age of we open the doors and here come the customers seemed to be by the wayside. There were fewer and fewer state and Maine kind of locations that could do that, and the problem was we couldn't afford any of them. So the idea was if we could consolidate all the operations together, have me do, say, the jobs of four people and maybe find a few people to work with me who could do the jobs of what maybe only one person would do, but have two be doing the jobs of two people, say. So I wouldn't work them as hard as I worked myself. I thought that, you know, I could do it. I could also thought that, you know, I did very from the beginning, I had a number of things that I had thought about for, I don't know, 20-something years as a buyer, saying, if I had a store, I'd have an event every day. And everybody would look at me and groan.
Well, and so then to take it to the next step, when Schwartz decided to close, you had this model in your mind of how it could be done.
I did. My biggest problem was when we initially talked about closing the stores, because we did have a little delay in that because of lease issues and things like that. I didn't think I would have the money to do it. And one of the saddest truths about opening new bookstores is there are people with the money, there are people with the experience, and there are people with the passion. And it's really hard to find all three.
But the money came about.
Yeah, it was a weird sort of turn of events that had to do. It's probably the best thing that happened with the real estate crash, because my parents' home went up ridiculously high in value. My father had passed away. My mom sold the house at a peak, and then while she was figuring out what to do with the money, the market crashed. And so, you know, basically my family, my sisters, who are big champions of this idea, said, oh, mom, you wouldn't have the money anyway. This isn't even really real money. So that, with some gifting, family gifting, plus some money that I had saved because I'm pretty frugal, plus a really unique circumstance where the family selling the store really, really, really wanted a store or two stores to stay in the market. It was very important to them. So we were able to make it work.
Claire, in talking with people from the book industry, where do they see Milwaukee on the literary landscape?
The surprising thing was they saw Milwaukee right up there with New York and Seattle and the big literary cities whose bookstores have big followings and get the big authors and have some really devoted fans.
You were obviously an experienced bookseller at the point that that you opened Boswell. But in the last 4 years, have you learned something about the literary community here?
Oh, I was so introverted. I knew nobody. You know, as a buyer, I think I knew the publishing industry. I mean, one of the interesting things is that when I was the buyer at Schwartz, nobody locally ever would have come to me to talk about anything. You know, I never would have been on this show. No, you know, probably, you know, the Montana Street News, you know, my blocks paper, which I have yet to come up with it, publish an issue on, you know, they wouldn't have interviewed me. They're like, who the schmo are you? But so I knew that that was sort of an uphill battle I had. I had a pretty good reputation nationally with publishers and even, you know, even media as a spokesmodel for book buying, but not really for book selling. And that was something I really had to overcome. We were talking about, you know, markets and how the industry sees us. It was definitely an uphill battle. I mean, even though Schwartz had really established a tour stop among secondary cities and sometimes even with the primary cities, for most publishers, we had to start from scratch and prove ourselves all over again. There were a few publishers that did throw us, you know, literary bones, so to speak, and we're really grateful for that.
Well, so I'm curious about both sides of this equation. Claire, you spoke with a number of people, but among them writer Chris Cleave, about the role that Daniel and Boswell Books played in kind of getting his work onto the radar. What was his take on the place?
Well, he liked it so much that you can find a video on YouTube that he made all about Milwaukee, where he interviewed people in Boswell and I think in a Barnes & Noble about why they like Milwaukee. But anyways, when we were talking about Daniel for this story, we through Daniel's very thorough blog posts and Chris Cleave, you could track Little B's trade paperback success and how, in Chris's own words, how influential Daniel was in making that book. I mean, I can remember hearing from publishing people in 2010 that this was Little B was an independent bookseller's, you know, victory. Totally.
Well, and Daniel Golden, so how does your attention to a book like Little B fit in with your philosophy of what you do as a bookseller?
Well, it's funny. That was really Little B and Co. is coming out in hardcover at a point where I kind of knew that the stores, you know, that I was going to be starting a store. But our event for Little B was a Schwartz event. It was actually the last event at the Downer Schwartz. And it was an interesting thing because I had just started this blog and I was doing all these things. I had read the book very early. I'd try, you know, booksellers, we just, you know, we're just getting these books earlier and earlier. I get to the point where I feel like somebody's like, okay, we're going to put you on the phone and the author's going to be dictating. And could you just listen to this and give us a quote because we're going to be publishing this book in a year and a half? And I had read the book very early, unusually enough, in a manuscript. And I had been very excited about it. And I had this opportunity to really get behind a book in a way that I couldn't always. And what I loved about the story is, you know, there are all different kinds of books. And I love books that do double and triple duty. So this was a book that had the intellectual arguments of that would make for critical reviews, but it also had the emotional strength that would generate a lot of word of mouth. It's really hard to find both. We were just, you know, we've been talking about Beautiful Ruins by Jess Walter. That's a book that just does both. You know, it hits people's heart, hits people's head. But I read that late. But in Little Beast's case, I had it really early. And we happened to have several conferences during the year. And I would go to, you know, I got to go to these bookseller conference. And then when they'd ask what you were reading, I had something I'd be passionate about. And I had this blog I was trying to write every day. And I would get to the point, I was like, okay, well, I have another thing to say about the book. It came to the point, I think there were seven. And, you know, in addition, I was very, very lucky, as I've been all through this process, that I fell into a gig that I always think is going to end, where I would go on National Public Radio with Susan Stamberg and talk about a book that I was really passionate about. And it happened that I went on pretty much about a month before the book came out in paperback. And I don't take full credit for it by any means. There were so many people involved in helping that book. But I was definitely had a particularly loud mouth. And one of the things that's really important about staging a book for paperback is that you need to keep the momentum going. And we all like give it that 1 to 2 month shot and then sort of let the book go. And one of the things I love about being a bookseller, an independent bookseller, is we can do whatever we want. And if we want to be tenacious and keep on pushing that book all year round, we can. And we did in this case.
How do you see your role in working with local authors, you know, whether they're with national publishers or not, versus your role in working with the Chris Cleaves and the Jess Walters of the world?
Well, originally I thought that was going to be most of our business. I mean, I wasn't really counting on it. People were talking about the tours going away. My big idea was to grab more authors from Chicago, which we sometimes overlooked. We have been able to get on some larger tours. But still, I would say a surprisingly large number of authors are local that we work with. And it's everything from launches from large publishers to a lot of self-published books and micro presses and – you know, I have an author coming up later in the month, and she's published by a press, but it's print on demand, and I think it's based in Cyprus. I hope it's still there. But I know the book's coming out, so I'm comfortable with that. And, you know, we can't do everything. I always would laugh about it as I started dealing with this. I'd say, oh my gosh, there's more writers than readers in Milwaukee. But we do try to get a good number of people. I think it's just important to represent everybody from in the writing process. And what I say to a lot of authors is everybody's got a great event in them. You may want to do it with us. You may want to do it at a bar or at your church or at a fraternal organization or a house party. And there's more people than we can handle that want to do it with us. And so they're the most fun events because it's going to be the best event they have, and they're just thrilled about it, and we're thrilled about it. And it's always got a celebratory atmosphere that when people don't know the author, it's not always going to be. It's more, you know, somber or, you know, I'm going to read now. But, you know, a local author that has their launch, if they're really passionate about it, you know, they're just like giggly.
Daniel Golden is proprietor of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. Claire Hannon is an assistant editor at Milwaukee Magazine and wrote the profile of Golden in the April issue. There's a link from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. We should note our segment was scheduled to air last month but was preempted by NPR special coverage, so we aired it today. Continuing the theme, an interview with one area author who will be at Boswell tonight. That is coming up next on Lake Effect from WUWM.